Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 7. Make time for prayer. Evening and morning, and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Psalm 55, verse 17. The great masters and teachers in Christian doctrine have always found in prayer their highest source of illumination. Not to go beyond the limits of the English Church, it is recorded of Bishop Andrews that he spent 5 hours daily on his knees. The greatest practical resolves that have enriched and beautified human life in Christian times have been arrived at in prayer. Canon Liddon. Public prayers, as a rule, ought to be short and condensed, but in our private communion with God, time is an essential, valuable feature. Much time spent with God is the secret of all successful praying. Prayer that is felt as a mighty force is the immediate product of much time spent with God. Our short prayers owe their point and efficiency to the long ones that have preceded them. The short prevailing prayer cannot be prayed by one who has not prevailed with God in a mightier struggle of long endurance. Jacob's victory of faith could not have been gained without that all-night wrestling. God's acquaintance is not made by pop calls. God does not bestow his gifts on the casual or hasty comers and goers. Much time with God alone is the secret of knowing him and of influence with him. For the Lord is near unto all those that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Psalm 145, verse 18. He yields to the persistency of a faith that knows him. He bestows his richest gifts upon those who declare their desire for and appreciation of those gifts by the constancy as well as the earnestness of their solicitations. Christ, who is our example in this, spent many whole nights in prayer. His custom was to pray much. He had his habitual place to pray. Many long seasons of praying make up his history and character. Paul prayed day and night. It took time from very important interests for Daniel to pray 3 times a day. David's morning, noon, and night praying was doubtless very lengthy on many occasions. While we have no specific account of the time these Bible saints spent in prayer, the indications are that they consumed much time in prayer, and on some occasions, long seasons of praying was their custom. We do not want anyone to think that the value of their prayers is to be measured by the clock, but our purpose is to impress on our minds the necessity of being alone with God for a significant amount of time. If this has not been produced by our faith, then our faith is of a feeble and shallow type. But as Paul told the Colossians, persevere in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, praying also together for us, that God would open unto us the door of the word. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. The men who have illustrated Christ most fully in their character and have affected the world most powerfully for him have been men who spent so much time with God as to make it a dominant occurrence in their lives. Charles Simeon devoted the hours from 4 until 8 in the morning to God. Mr. Wesley spent 2 hours in prayer every day. He began at 4 in the morning. Someone who knew him well wrote, "He thought prayer to be more his business than anything else, and I have seen him come out of his closet with a serenity of face next to shining. John Fletcher stained the walls of his room with the breath of his prayers. Sometimes he would pray all night, always, frequently, and with great earnestness. His whole life was a life of prayer. "I would not rise from my seat," he said, "without lifting my heart to God." His greeting to a friend was always, "Do I meet you praying?" Luther said, "If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer." He had a motto, "He that has prayed well has studied well." Archbishop Layton was alone with God so much that he seemed to be in perpetual meditation. "Prayer and praise were his business and his pleasure," says his biographer. Bishop Ken was with God so much that his soul was said to be God-enamored. He was with God before the clock struck 3 every morning. Bishop Asbury said, "I propose to rise at 4 o'clock as often as I can and spend 2 hours in prayer and meditation." Samuel Rutherford, the fragrance of whose devotion is still rich, rose at 3 in the morning to meet God in prayer. As the psalmist said, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Early will I present myself unto thee and wait." Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. Joseph Alline rose at 4 o'clock for his business of praying until 8. If he heard other tradesmen working at their business before he was up, he would exclaim, "Oh, how this shames me! Doth not my master deserve more than theirs?" He who has learned this trade well draws at will, and with acceptance of heaven's unfailing reserves. One of the holiest and among the most gifted of Scotch preachers said, "I ought to spend the best hours in communion with God. It is my noblest and most fruitful employment, and is not to be thrust into a corner. The morning hours from 6 to 8 are the most uninterrupted and should be thus employed. After tea is my best hour, and that should be solemnly dedicated to God. I should not give up the good old habit of prayer before going to bed. I also need to guard against sleep. When I awake in the night, I should rise and pray. A little time after breakfast might be given to intercession." This was the praying plan of Robert McShane. The memorable Methodist band of men shame us with their praying. From 4 to 5 in the morning, private prayer. From 5 to 6 in the evening, private prayer. John Welch, the holy and wonderful Scotch preacher, thought the day ill spent if he did not spend 8 or 10 hours in prayer. He kept a plaid blanket that he might wrap himself in when he arose to pray at night. His wife would complain when she found him lying on the ground weeping. He would reply, "Oh, woman, I have the souls of 3,000 to answer for, and I know not how it is with many of them." Scripture, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and integrity." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2.
To walk and to Savior.